I'd like to call the town of Discovery Bay meeting to order for the 20th of March. If you'll all join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can I get a roll call, please?
President Tetro?
Here.
Vice President Simon?
Here.
Director Graves?
Present.
Director Pease?
Here.
Director Steele?
Here.
Okay, I would now go to public comment, and the public comment will may address the board on any issue that is not on the agenda. Public may comment on any item on the agenda at the time it is taken up. You can speak for 3 minutes, and you must come to the podium if you'd like to talk. So, is there any public comment? Don't all rush at once. Okay. No public comment. We will close public comment and go on to presentations, which I believe we have one.
Yes, we do, Mr. President. Members of the board, John Oborn from the county is here this evening to provide an update as to a couple of those residential development projects that are winding their way through their entitlement process, one of which is Pantages, and you all recall that EIR has been on the street for quite some time, and John's going to give us an update on that, as well as the mitigated negative deck and the recirculated mitigated negative deck relative to the Newport Point project. And he's going to give us an update on those on that project as well.
Welcome, John. Thank you.
First, I'd like to hand out a map that details a couple of the projects we've been talking about, Newport Point and Pantages. The first one we'll start with is Newport Point, because that has recently gone to hearing. It went to the Planning Commission on February 26th, so a few weeks ago. The Planning Commission approved the subdivision, and they recommended to the Board of Supervisors the approval of the general plan amendment and the rezoning. So the target for that, the Board of Supervisors hearing, would be April 23rd. That's what we're aiming at. So that's what's happening with Newport Point. Pantages is in the process of finalizing their EIR, and we're aiming for a date sometime in May of this year, either May 14th or May 28th. And at that point, it would go to the Planning Commission and then similar to Newport Point on to the Board of Supervisors. So that's an update on the two projects. You'll notice the project, the village, has been taken off the map. And I've done that because we haven't heard from them in, I think, about a year. So I took that off the active list, at least for now. So those are the two projects. And there haven't been any other major applications for subdivisions or any development projects in the Discovery Bay area since
where,
the last
where
time.
Where was the village?
Pardon?
Oh, it was... Mark 7 wants to put back on.
Oh, excuse me? No, where was that located?
It was right in the middle where Discovery Bay Boulevard.
Yeah.
You know the condo block?
Oh, yeah, the 10,000 houses in 2 acres.
Put that back on the agenda.
Oh,
no. I'm waiting for it to go back on the agenda.
Thank you.
So that's the update.
All right.
Are there any questions?
Anybody on board?
Newport Point.
Yeah.
I mean, I realize that they're spending a fortune to get to where they're going, but they still have to get a will serve from us, and at this point, there's no guarantee to them that they'll be issued a will serve for this board. Is that correct? We're under no obligation to accept their development?
Well, I'm not sure your process. I know our process. That we require a will serve letter from you guys before we allow them to subdivide the property.
Director Simon, to address that a little bit further, once they've gone through their environmental process, the Planning Commission has approved it. It still needs to go to the Board of Supervisors for final approval on the development project itself. They then have to apply for an annexation into the district. That's going to require LAFCO consideration and a LAFCO action, as well as an action by this board. So there's still some time that's going to take place. It's by no means a final decision.
Thanks.
Right. They are two separate processes. They're not integrated.
And John, on that same note, there's also some annexation that has to occur for Pantages to move forward, because I believe they're out, part of their property is outside of our area of responsibility.
That's correct. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
As the Pantages Bays project, the EIR for the break in the water and widening the slough and all that, that's processed all the way through already?
That's, it's actually a two-stage process. The draft EIR was released, and it's been on the street, as Rick had indicated, for quite some time. And then what happens is we send it to all the agencies. They send us comments back. We have to respond to those comments, and the draft EIR and the response to the comments, you put those two together, and that's the final EIR. So we need to, and we're doing that, finalizing the responses to the agencies. And like I say, we're aiming to go to a public hearing sometime in May.
Thank you. Yeah. And the district has responded or has commented on both the EIR for Newport Point. We submitted a fairly extensive list of comments to the county on that, as well as on the initial mitigated negative deck on Newport Point, and then again, subsequently, on the recirculation of the mitigated negative deck on Newport Point. So we're fairly comfortable that at least the conditions that we have requested, they might not all have been accepted, but at least they're in the process.
I think Virgil.
You answered what I was going to do is just maybe have John explain the process, the next few steps.
Yeah.
But I think Rick and they explained that. So.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Any other questions for the audience?
And those two.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for
thanks,
coming
John,
up.
Okay. Coming out.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Okay. All right. Next, we have President and Director's comments, if any. Do I get any comments?
Well, I'm good, thank you.
I'm good, thank you.
I am also.
No comments.
No comments?
Nothing.
Oh, I'm amazed. Okay, we're all speechless tonight, and we'll go to item E, the consent calendar.
I'll make a motion that we approve the consent calendar.
Second.
Okay. I would ask any comments from the audience on the consent calendar? Seeing none, any further discussion from the board? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, 5-0 on that. Thank you. Now we'll go to item F. We'll start with new business. Item 1, approve a purchase of 17 solar pathway lights for Cornell Solar Lights Project. Staff?
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. This project has been before you on a couple of different occasions, primarily through the budgetary review process for this current fiscal year. As you are well aware, the lights out of Cornell Park are troublesome. The electrical grid is doesn't work. It's been in place approximately 30 years. The cost to continue to maintain it was getting to the point that it just appeared to be more appropriate just to replace the lights and leave the electrical grid in place and replace them with solar lights, similarly to what we did over in Ravenswood. What we're doing this evening is pre-purchasing the lights. The project is out to bid for the installation of those lights. 16 of the lights are actually for Cornell Park. One of them is for this location outside the door here. We had a light that was here previously when the ramp got removed. That we replaced the handicap access ramp, we had to remove that light. So we're going to place one of those solar lights out here as well. If the board has any questions, we'd certainly be able to answer them for you, and we're recommending approval this evening.
Rick, this money is already set up in their zone, am I correct?
That's correct. It's in Zone 8.
Yes. Did we do a cost analysis of what the traditional lighting cost versus the solar light?
I discussed this yesterday with Baron Perez, our parks and landscape manager, at length, and they didn't actually determine the cost of a traditional light, electric light with an electrical power supply to it, because of the fact that the lights themselves that are there would require complete reconstruction of that power supply. It's completely deteriorated, it's rusted out, we have a number of failures out there, and the electrical boxes are rusted out, and in order to go ahead and replace those lights with light, it would have been significant, the cost would have been significant just in the electrical grid itself. So what we ended up doing was utilizing the concept that we rolled out over at Ravenswood Park, for Cornell Park, knowing that there would be no longer any electrical costs in the long run to the lights, and as well as replacing the lights on a regular basis as they burn out, and maintaining the electrical grid as issues arise with it.
All right. So the underground electrical conduits, et cetera, have all been deteriorated. So those would all have had to be basically replaced, the underground, to bring traditional electricity to each of the locations.
In fact, we've, if any of you have been out there at night, there's only a few of those lights that still work. In Cornell.
Yeah, I thought we had them all working 6 months ago.
The lights at Cornell are not, they're not all working due to the electrical issues that we have. And they may be working as we get them repaired, but it's a constant maintenance stream out there. For electricians out there for them.
Yeah, what's the life of these LEDs? The light itself that's going to come on?
I believe
they are. And there's just a solar panel and a battery up high up above. And I believe it's supplying the power for an LED one.
Right. So what's the expected life of the lights and what's the expected life of the solar panel itself?
That I don't know.
I do know that the lights out at Ravenswood, the ones that we are utilizing as our model here, if you will, have a fairly significant life expectancy to them. And as a matter of fact, we had some failures go out, and the manufacturers has replaced them under their warranty. I want to say it's 10 years, but I'm not 100% positive on that. And I don't have, sorry, parents, I'd be able to be here this evening to answer that question directly.
Ravenswood is 10 years.
Yeah, I'm looking at the warranty here. It doesn't say what the life is on these things. So the material is provided. There's no warranty.
Yeah, I read the warranties. As soon as we get them here, the warranty expires.
The battery's dead.
Whatever.
Which one? These ones?
That's the one. Yeah, that's the way I read that on the staff backup report. The reason I'm asking these, you know, might seem difficult questions, but I think it's important that the public understand that we do a thorough analysis. I mean, I'm one for the environment, et cetera. I'm not so much of a solar person at this time because of the cost and the life expectancy of 10 years, and if you've got to replace them, now the savings is kind of gone. But I'm afraid I was not here when we started the boat downriver, so... Well, where I was going is trying to see what was the payback.
I believe the ones that I did when I put those in at Ravenswood, they were a 10-year warranty, and that firm's out of Florida. My memory serves me right, and we've had them in there for at least four years or more already, and we rarely have to send anybody out there to maintain them or change anything. Where electrician, we would have to bring it for example, Cornell Park is the only other park that we have lights at, with the exception of Regatta, which has got three lights, is that every time a light goes out, you're not sure if it's a bulb or is it electrical wiring. Is there a short somewhere in the electrical conduits leading up to that light bulb? So you have to trace that out, and that's what gets costly.
Well, I understand that, yeah. But if we had and I'm not saying we're backing up, but if we had redone the entire electrical system, then that should be a moot point in the future. But
the other question I would ask is, following what Bill just said, if the ones out there have a 10-year warranty, why don't these?
That part I don't know. I was not involved with this part here, so I can't explain that.
If I can make a suggestion, if we can hold this item until a little bit later in the agenda, and I can try and get that answer.
I believe, although I don't see it as a cost item, the warranty talks about when they get here, the warranty expires, but there's a warranty available for a cost, and whether or not that warranty price, where that cost is, was it built into this price or not, I think is really what the question needs to be.
I didn't have that one.
Well, and another question, this is kind of bringing a question, is how much would it cost to rebuild the electrical?
It would cost quite a bit.
What's quite a bit?
The trenching, you'd have to do a conduit from each electrical box, mm-hmm. and each pole should have an electrical box,
yeah.
where you splice it to. Mm-hmm. So you'd have to put in new conduits, pull the wire out, and then whatever the code is today, sure. depending on the size of wire it is. Mm-hmm. I don't know what, to be honest with you, I don't know what the cost would be, but yeah. labor is probably the most. Obviously, you have to pay prevailing wage, and so it isn't
Well, you know, Bill's brought up some good points, and
yeah.
the fact of the matter is this, when we did Ravenswood, there was nothing there, so, you know, that was a new thing. Now, but we have existing old stuff that could be fixed.
One of the hardest things there at the, Cornell Park, mm-hmm. is all the electrical is together, meaning that your irrigation controllers,
okay.
it's all off of one controller or one panel,
mm-hmm.
so it'd be very hard to tell what the lights are drawing, mm-hmm. and what's drawing off the, what's the lights mm-hmm. in the restroom drawing, and then what's the irrigation controllers running in new life.
If I can ask you to hold off on this for some time, I've asked Dina to try and contact Farron.
Okay.
And so we try and get that answer.
We'll just
later in the agenda, or we'll just hold it over to another meeting.
That's fine. Okay. If we hear anything new, we'll come back to it. Otherwise, we'll postpone it. Okay. Do I need a motion for that?
No, sir.
We'll go to item number 2, which is approve and adopt resolution 2013-06 for the vehicle policy. Staff.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. This item was before you back on February 20th, a month ago. This is a proposed vehicle use policy. Up to this point in time, the district has not had one. And so I felt it was appropriate to bring one to the board for consideration. The board did discuss it the last time that was before them. There were two changes that were made between that time and now. The first one has to do with adding a clause that there's no smoking allowed in district-owned vehicles or in vehicles that are being rented for district business. For example, if someone is out of town on business and they're renting a vehicle, most rental car companies have no smoking clauses anyway, but I just want to ensure that. And then the second change was to that vehicles would only be able to be taken home in the event that the employee live within the district boundary. With that, we are open to discussion and other considerations, but we do recommend adoption of resolution 2013-06.
Any questions? Any questions in the audience? I could entertain a motion.
Well, just for clarification,
yeah.
because I don't remember that part of it where we talked about employees taking a vehicle home. So at this point, one of our employees who takes a vehicle to Mountain House will no longer be taking that vehicle, is what we're saying?
That's correct.
Okay.
I move that we adopt resolution 2013-06 as written.
I'll second.
Okay, I have a first and second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Looks like 5-0. Thank you. Go to item 3, purchase of grinder for belt press installation project. Staff again.
Thank you. Mr. Mr. President, members of the board. This is a, we purchased one of these grinders previously for when we installed the second belt press down at the wastewater treatment plant. This would be the final grinder, if you will, for the third belt press, which is on order and is due to arrive next month. This is a budgeted item. It's part of the solids improvements from phases one and two. It's part of the capital, not the capital improvement program budget, as well as the, and it's funded through the long-term financing project. So if you have any questions, Virgil's here, can address them.
Just a point, Virgil, does that mean that each grinder, each belt press takes its own grinder?
Yes, sir, it does.
Okay. I have to note that the product is called a Muffin Monster.
Yeah, I got it.
So you can extrapolate what you will from
Muffin Monster. Maybe Rag Monster.
Just so that I can come up to speed a little bit, what's the life expectancy of a piece of equipment like this?
Generally, you'll get at least 20 years. There are a, think of it like a camshaft in your engine. That's the part that's in the middle of this that will wear out. Generally, it depends on the hours of use for that. We have a grinder today. When we first built our, put in the first belt press 6 years ago, and we've only had to do maintenance on it once. We haven't had to replace the camshaft, the roller yet, but I would expect we'd probably have another 3 or 4 more years, and that shaft would be the one that comes out. It's probably the most expensive item of that grinder is this shaft, and we are trying a newer type of shaft on this third grinder, meaning that the cover comes off, you can take it out, where currently today you have to pull the side out in order to pull the shaft out.
So supposedly on paper, a little easier maintenance when you...
Yeah, with large sanitation districts, when they buy this grinder on the biosolid, they're generally running close to 24 hours a day, and we're at least 16 to 24, we're only generally getting 8 to 10 hours a day.
So we should get a longer life out of it.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions from the board? Any questions from the public? Okay.
I'll make a motion. We authorize the purchase of the grinder for the belt press installation project not to exceed $22,655.97.
Second.
Okay, I have a first and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Question.
We'll now go to item F4, which is authorized water and wastewater rate studies for periods FY 2013-14, 16 through 16-17.
Thank you again, Mr. President, members of the board. This evening, if you recall, 2 years ago, we engaged the firm of Hornberger Engineering to perform this study on our behalf. Hornberger Engineering, Gary Hornberger, retired shortly after that. In fact, I want to say we were his last client before he retired. And consequently, it was necessary to go out and select an additional, a new replacement firm. If you recall, when we did the capacity fee study report, we went through an RFP process and we selected Bartle Wells Associates to do that. Bartle Wells also is in the business of conducting rate studies on behalf of public agencies. In fact, they do hundreds and hundreds of them and are probably the industry leader in that field here in California, subject to Prop 218 requirements. Staff is recommending this evening a 4-year rate study. That 4-year rate study would provide long-term forecasting, if you will, as it relates to our budgets and what our future capital projects are and what our future financial needs will be. Allison Lachova, I'm sorry. Lachovich is here from Bartle Wells this evening to answer any questions that you may have. The item is a budgeted item in this year's budget, so I want to provide that information to you as well. If you have any questions or if Allison, you want to add anything, please now is the appropriate time.
I'll answer questions.
Okay. Any questions?
No.
Is that time?
Again, so I can get up to speed, we did a rate study approximately 2 years ago, and this one is for a 4-year period, and lets us assume that one of these projects comes on stream and et cetera, 3 years from now, if the study we do today, are those numbers still going to be valid 3 years from now, or do we have to do an update at that time?
We generally recommend a rate study over a 3 to 5 year planning horizon. And sometimes what we do is like a low capital improvement plan type forecast, or like a higher capital improvement plan. And so it builds in some flexibility with if projects are delayed or not included. Does that answer your question?
Well, no, I was thinking about the housing project. And we're going to charge them X amount of dollars for their waste and water rates. Is that mm-hmm. Am I not understanding what we're doing?
These rates are the ratepayers' rates, not the developers' rates.
Correct. Yeah, homeowner.
The homeowner. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
The homeowner.
Yeah.
So that my question is, if supposedly a project, a housing project, is approved in the future, and let's say it's 3 years from now, the rates that you studied now and you provide to us in the next few months, are they still valid 3 years from now for those homeowners?
Well, it's difficult to say. Like I said, we recommend reevaluating the rates on a 3 to 5 year basis. So we kind of be at the end of our planning forecast. Mm-hmm. And so then it would be a good time to reevaluate once again.
Let me see if I can ask the question this way. Do you know if either of the two developments that we discussed tonight, those loads will be included in your survey?
Oh, we'd like to include, all customer forecasts in our planning projections.
The capacity fee study that was adopted by the board back in October includes all those development projects. And so, for example, if there is a, when those homes come online, they will pay a capacity fee charge to be ported and connected to the system.
Correct.
And so when that takes place, those homes, based upon the forecast, the timing of when we believe them to come online, will be included as part of the rate studies that will be taking place over the 4-year planning horizon.
So, in theory, those are the only projects that we see coming online at this particular time. So, then the rates that you're going to propose should be valid, and we shouldn't have to do it.
It would be out of the 4 years by then anyway. We'd do another study.
You can. One of the things you can do, Director Pease, is you can establish a ceiling, a range, if you will, and you cannot exceed that ceiling without going back to another 218 hearing. But you can moderate those rates. You can go lower. So I think what Allison is saying, if I can speak for her, is that they look at what our future capital needs are. We look at our operating expenses and what we would anticipate over the next few years. We program that out, and there would be a range that would be given. And so you would have the flexibility then to say, well, if our range is going to be, let's say it's 8% for any given year, well, if those numbers, for one reason or another, don't hit, then it can be 2% or 3% or 1%. You just can't exceed the number.
Right. Well, where I was going in the long term is, spending another $30,000 as soon as something comes on and we've got to do the rate study again. So I'm unaware of the process, if you will.
The cost in the rate study is, and Allison and I had this question the other day, was anticipating the question, actually, was what if we did a 2-year rate study instead of a 4-year rate study? What would the cost be to that? And it's insignificant. It is a reduction because all the labor goes into building the rate models and building the plan, and it's dropping in. Now it's adding in the numbers in the subsequent years. So whether you do 1 year or 4 years, it's really not that much of a difference in terms of price, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct. We load all of our assumptions into a financial model. So assumptions about number of customers connecting to the system. We make assumptions about water use. We make assumptions about operating capital costs. And for the first 1 to 2 years, we work very closely with staff to get those assumptions correct. And we can do a fiscally conservative assumptions or more liberal But in the, like, 3 to 5 year planning period, it's mostly escalating costs based on inflation or, the construction costs index.
Would these rate studies, we don't have meters on all of the customers that we have, and if we put meters on there, I don't see it happening anytime soon, but if we did, then these rate studies, or these preferred rates, then would apply to the existing homes once the meters go on also, correct?
Right. They would probably be reassigned in your billing system over to a meter rate, and then that rate would apply to them.
Right. But and that's part of this review process, correct?
Yes.
Our current rate.
It'd be part of our customer projections. Right.
Thank you.
So then does that lead me to believe that if we come back after this rate study is over and go for a new study, we should anticipate it costing less because you've already done work?
For return cities and clients?
Correct.
Yeah, we typically do like an update kind of proposal for that. Mm-hmm. Which is
the model's already built.
The model's
correct.
Already built.
Yeah. Correct. And we're familiar with your system at that point. Yeah.
Any other questions?
No.
Any questions from the audience? Please step forward, please.
I'd just like you get an idea of the time frame that you're talking about for doing these studies. And, you know, would it be an intermediate draft or something in the final, or how does that all lay out?
Yeah, usually we like to gather data and then present draft recommendations first to staff and then to the board. And then if there's any additional edits or revisions, we can make those and then present at a Prop 218 hearing. But yes, we definitely like a lot of public participation. We don't want anyone to be surprised when they get their Prop 218 notice.
Oh, very good. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I'll entertain a motion.
So moved. Staff recommendation.
Second.
I have a first and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. 5-0. Thank you.
Thank you, Allison.
We'll now do item 5, Discovery Bay Community Center swimming pool repair. I guess that's the extra piece of paper we have.
Yes, sir.
All right.
As the board is aware, thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. As the board is aware, we acquired the community center a month ago or so, and one of the items that we acquired with the community center was a swimming pool. And as the board is aware, the swimming pool has been a little bit of a burr for us in terms of trying to drill down to identify what the true repair cost would be to operate the pool efficiently. And so staff spent a significant amount of time working with different vendors and different contractors and has worked with a company called National Aquatics Services, as well as Lincoln Pool Supplies, Lincoln Equipment, to provide us what we believe to be an appropriate approach towards renovating the swimming pool. We received these late this afternoon, had a chance to review them and discuss them with the vendors themselves, and the costs are significantly more than we had budgeted. We had budgeted $23,000 for this based upon an earlier estimate that we received. That estimate included for the most part residential pool equipment in a commercial environment, and so these proposals tonight recommend converting the residential system to a commercial system, wherein instead of having 6 or 7 filters, you have 3 filters. Instead of having 3 pumps, you've got 1 pump, and automating the chlorine distribution system, as well as updating the equipment and changing out some of the valves that need to be changed out due to the fact that they're no longer legal. The cost to do so, if the board would the board goes in the direction this evening is just a little over $47,700. Approximately 50% of the item on the last page of the sales quote, where the dollar amount is $14,669, would be reimbursed through energy efficiency rebates through PG&E. So assuming that is the case and takes place as we expect it to do, we're looking at cost of just under about $47,000 less than $7,000, about $40,000 net to renovate the swimming pool. I know that Director Simon, as well as Director Graves, went out and met with the pool company a couple weeks ago on a Friday, and we spent a significant amount of time out there discussing the pool and discussing the equipment and making sure that we came to a recommendation that was the right recommendation. I believe you have that this evening. So if you have any questions, I'd be more than happy to address them.
Where are these rebates coming from?
PG&E. Who did I say?
PG&E.
Oh, sometimes I say SDG. PG&E.
So this is like industrial grade equipment that should last us a few years?
Actually, more than a few years. That was one of the questions I believe that Director Simon asked while he was out on site, and the response was that these are commercial grade equipment that has a life expectancy of much more than just a couple of years, like a residential pool system would. And he didn't really give us a year, but it was certainly in the plus 5 to 10 range.
If I could just add something to the conversation. First of all, I was amazed when I went out there and saw that what we it wasn't that we asked for an estimate on what it would be to get a residential pool system put into a commercial pool. That's what's there. There's like 8 residential pool systems running this pool. It's like added on to, I don't know how it was constructed, to be honest with you, but it's a bunch of small systems. That was what is existing. It's extremely inefficient, and the gentleman from NAS was very cooperative in saying, hey, wait, you guys are already working with Lincoln. Why don't you just buy the equipment and we'll install it, and that'll save. And he was willing to forego his markup. And so I think there's at least a 20% savings on the equipment, because he's willing to work with us on this and try the understanding that we're under restraints budget-wise. I felt very confident and comfortable that we were really getting the right story from this guy. He seemed to be very knowledgeable when it came to the commercial application.
So the first page is labor for the project. The 14.
There's also some labor built into the. If you look on the final page, there's also some labor for NAS there for that portion of it, for the pump and the drive also. The labor on the front page addresses everything that's involved with also getting the pool cleaned and up to.
The reason why there's a third estimate just from the labor side and the equipment side is in order to accommodate PG&E's requirements and break that cost out, the cost of the equipment, the cost of the labor out.
So
the rebate is much easier and simplified, so they can figure it out. We can submit it a lot easier.
How many users do we anticipate using the pool?
I would suspect that the pool is going to be your draw more than not. If you hit any municipal swimming pool in the summertime, it is the draw from a community center standpoint. And so I believe that not knowing what it's going to be, but just projecting what it might be, I think it will be very significant use. And I think it will increase year to year, especially if the board does eventually take an action to relocate the splash pad from Cornell Park to this location, which would then provide a true aquatics complex, if you will, where there's multiple uses in place. There's a splash pad and there's a swimming pool, and it's really the draw that brings people to the facility.
But from a user's fee standpoint, because we have adopted a single fee, there's no additional fee for using the pool, correct?
That fee structure was established just through June 30th, once we come back with a revised fee schedule, relative to some of the situations that are taking place in the community right now with respect to the possibility of another fitness center coming in locally, depending on what happens there. We will be coming back with a revised fee schedule regardless, starting in July.
And we'll have a daily user rate.
I understand that. Yeah. How much does a pool like this, once it's up and running, approximate cost per month?
Yeah, that's a good question, Director Pease. And to be perfectly honest with you, I had asked for that quote as well, and I did not receive it. And so I apologize for that, but I will get that. It was on my hit list of items to ask him for, but he did not get it over to me. I'm going to guess we'll be able to do most of the work ourselves, but in order to do the filter changes and those types of things, the chlorine is all, it's an all automated system. Just making sure that the chlorine.
I understand all that. Where I was going with, there's a cost of chlorine, there's a cost of electricity, there's a cost. I'm all for a pool, but at this particular point, I'm very uncomfortable going ahead with this, because we're only supposed to be studying what's going to take place and come back with some recommendations in June. We don't know what our average cost per month is going to be. It'd be great in the summertime, but September, October, November, December, January, the pool still has to be maintained. So where I'm going is, where are we generating the revenues to pay for operating the pool and maintain the pool deck and all the associated things other than just the pumps and the chlorine? I'm not clear on where our revenue for that would come from.
Well, if you're familiar with most public pools, they are not a revenue neutral proposal. It's a subsidized operation, but that is offset by other programming and that type of thing. So,
We're assuming that it will be offset based on proposed projects and programs, et cetera, that the community center should generate. I'm uncomfortable going ahead with this at this particular time until we wait till June and find out what the entire scope of the community center would be. I've also saw a proposal that shows that at some point down the road, phase three, I don't know if this will ever take place, but building a brand new pool. I don't know, is that the 3 to 5 year picture of tear this pool out and build a brand new one?
Those are options that haven't been presented. They've been presented to the community center committee. They are just options for consideration. We believe that final layout, if you will, it could happen. It might not happen. That's to be determined by community support. But certainly, what we're trying to do here is trying to identify the pool in this location today that could be here and stay in its current configuration for a long, long time.
Yeah, and I appreciate that, but I can't support this. I would want to wait, and I would ask the board to consider waiting until June to see what our final recommendations are. I feel that in this particular case, spending $40,000 to $50,000 on something that we don't know what our costs per month are going to be, we already know that we're going to have to subsidize the cost of it somehow, some way. I'm not sure where those funds are coming from. And we don't have a user fee charge, and we're a little unsure as far as the actual attendance goes. So I'd recommend that the Community Center Committee kind of work on this in a little more detail and bring something back in their June report so that we can have a little more informed decision before we go ahead with this type of expenditure.
We're going to have to maintain the pool regardless of the pool's in its current condition or in a future condition. The pumps are currently running. There's three pumps that are there right now that are not energy efficient. We're going to continue to pay electricity on those. The filters are still going to have to be cleaned and changed out. The water's still going to have to circulate. There's still going to be those costs. It's still going to have to be maintained to a certain minimum level. It may not be at a level for public health and swimming standards, but it would have to still be maintained unless we were to drain it.
Can't drain it, it'll pop out of the ground.
Well, we're talking about 90 days. So if we leave it in its current condition and in a Band-Aid approach for 90 days and then make a final decision, whatever. But I've said what I feel I need to say.
I'm assuming that we are going to heat this. I'm seeing two Raypak heaters. That's enough to heat it. It's only to heat it in the winter times.
The thought was that we would use the pool. The pool would be open depending on demand, obviously, but that it would be a summertime use. It would be a spring, summer, fall, the shoulder seasons of the summer, if you will, the time just before summer and the time after summer, when the heater would be its most beneficial, along with the pool covers and that sort of thing. But it would shut down in the wintertime and we would just go to air basic maintenance.
Programs that were available and through demand and athletic and aquatics and things that may come through programs that may occur. Or through programs that we're running at the community center, senior aquatic programs and that type of thing. I would add that one of our goals when we started talking about this property months ago was to get the community engaged in understanding that this is their property, that this property was purchased for the community. And I think it would be a mistake to ignore the next, the early months of summer and wait to do this until, because if you waited, then you're into July and August before the work's completed. And you've missed the first summer of having a municipal pool to benefit the community that's already paid for it. And it's a multiple $100,000 pool or asset that's sitting there not being used. And the intent by the board when it purchased the property was that would be that the tennis courts and the pool were going to be kind of anchors there of inviting the community in to use the property as their community center. And so I think it would be a mistake to not move forward with this plan now so that the pool would be available this season to be used by the public.
I disagree. I think
I'm not asking you to argue with me, sir.
Well,
you thought it was a mistake to delay.
I didn't argue with your statement. I just made the statement. I'm
not arguing.
He's allowed to make a statement.
Everybody's allowed to state their.
I'm not arguing at all.
Yeah, we're not arguing, but we all have our.
Well, you are when you say I disagree with you. That's arguing. If you want to make your statement, make your statement. It doesn't have to be prefaced with disagreement.
With all due respect, I feel that we do have a fiduciary responsibility, and now finding out that the pool is going to cost approximately $50,000 in lieu of the $23,000 that we thought it was going to cost, we owe the public a little chance to say, well, is this really, do we have enough information to make this decision? I feel we don't at this time. So that's it.
Director, I was just wondering, what's the construction timeline with this proposal?
It's about 60 days.
So would it be open in May or would it be open in June? Would it be open on May 1 or Memorial Weekend or what we shoot for, something like that?
Well, we're shooting to get it open as soon as we possibly can based upon the schedule. As soon as the board went through and approved the renovation schedule, we would authorize the work to begin.
But you have to order the parts. What's the lead time on the parts?
Well, that's...
Are they available on the shelf? Are they on the shelf right now?
I believe that they are all in the stock products. I've done some research, and when I got this afternoon, I went online, and most of these materials, I didn't look at every single one, but I looked at the larger items, and they're all shipping within 2 or 3 days.
Just as a point of clarification, I believe you said that the cost is $47.7 minus a $7,500 rebate from PG&E. Is that correct?
$7,000.
So that's around a $40,000 cost, not a $50,000 cost.
Right.
Okay.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
I'm going to go out to the audience and come back to the board.
No, please direct us.
I'll wait here.
No, please. You're the very loudest.
I'm not. I've got a lot of concerns. I'm in favor of the pool, but I've got a lot of concerns. I'm not so worried about having the pool open in May because the weather usually sucks here in May anyway. It doesn't get to start to warm up in the middle of June, it's based on my experience. One of my concerns is that we threw into the mix the new athletic club that's going to open up across the street from us. And my way of thinking was we had X amount of dollars coming in every month that was going to offset the cost of running the athletic club, offset paying for the pool. In fact, when we were over the day looking at what it was going to cost to do the pool, I started thinking if we're bringing in 15, 16, 18 grand a month from the athletic club, who cares? Let's just do the pool. We don't have any way of knowing at this point how much membership we're going to lose, how many people will just not come back to the gym. We just don't know. Maybe we may not lose any. We don't know what revenue we've got coming in right now. I don't have a clue what we're taking in. This is the month of March. Not a clue. It's kind of like to know that. And I don't want to put this off for 90 days, but I would like to put it off until either the next meeting or the meeting after, so we at least find out what we took in this month. Do we have any revenue? Will the revenue pay for the pool? I realize that we're running the other pool, and I know it's definitely not cost-effective. That pool's in god-awful shape with the equipment that's in it now. But would another 30 days hurt, or another 15 days? I mean, that would still give us time to get this pool open for summer.
I think staff has got those numbers. We know the income that's been brought in since the day that we started taking revenue on this.
Would we bring in March?
We got a 30-day revenue right now.
What was the March revenue?
We are right around between $9,000 and $10,000 in revenue for the month of March. And we're projecting 10 to get started.
That would be much.
Well, we understand that, but those were our projections for $10,000. Our credit card machine just started working. It was just finally got flipped on yesterday, if I'm not mistaken. If there were a number of those charges that were being held until the system could accept them. So those are now going to be going through.
Let me ask this also. We were told before we purchase this, before we close escrow, that this was bringing in 17 to 20 grand a month, that's what you told me yourself, and then we had 200 paid members. Obviously, there wasn't 200 paid members that we'd be having 17 to 20 grand.
When we presented the budget back in February to the board, we did note that they had revenues through November of last year of about $16,000 to $17,000. We did not believe that they still had that revenue base, and therefore we reduced our revenue estimates from that number to the $10,000. Part of the largest cost of this facility right now is the operating costs is the labor.
Yeah.
We're open from 5 a.m. to 9:30 p.m., 5 days a week, and I believe 7 on weekends. If the club were to open across the street, we wouldn't be opening at 5 in the morning or closing at 9 at night. Our hours of operation would change dramatically. In fact, it's on the agenda for the Community Center Committee to discuss at their next meeting this coming Monday evening. So those are all part of the considerations that the fitness facility, if there is one that goes in across the street, how it might impact us. And I do have a meeting with that owner of the facility on Monday afternoon to discuss with them the possibility of complementary uses versus competing uses so that we can both benefit, mutually benefit off of each other.
Well, I think for me, I would like to see a real profit loss for the month of March. We're only 10 days away from the end of this month. I'd really like to see what we actually either made or lost, what it cost us to run the place for the month of March.
If I may, when the Community Center Committee brought the request to the board to operate through June, it was anticipated there would be a loss of between $6,000 and $8,000 a month. The operation of the fitness center on a user fee basis is independent, had really nothing to do with the pool. The pool has always been an independent part of the community center, just like the tennis courts really are. That no matter what happened with the fitness center, we still had in the community centers committee recommendation that the tennis club, we weren't going to close the tennis courts down, we weren't going to close the pool down. And to be honest, it was very optimistic on our part, and we didn't guarantee, and we don't really know what's going to happen. We're waiting for the same numbers you are, whether or not it was even feasible to continue to operate as an athletic club past June, because it was operating in the red, and we're not going to continue to subsidize a losing proposition or a losing establishment. And I think that they're two independent issues. The pool and the athletic club are not related with regards to users. The pool was always going to be something that was going to be an asset to the community as a municipal pool in our mind on the community center committee, and have a value to the community. This, even though we live in a relatively hot climate in summer, very few people have pools because you have the delta in your backyard. I think that this pool will be used more than an average community will, because it's the only pool in town, unless you happen to float one on your back dock. So I'm not looking at those two things as being definitely related to each other. The operation of the pool and providing the pool to the community, and if we do go ahead and tie in the splash pad as an aquatic piece, is a separate piece than the athletic club. And this last thing has thrown a little monkey wrench into the planning. It might be a godsend too. Who knows?
I at this point I'm concerned with the new club, new business, and you know, I think a little time we know more about it. So I would be in favor of pulling this item for either one meeting or two meeting cycle and bring it back and revisit it with some better data, have some profit and loss on the club, get more information on the new athletic business that may or may not be going in, and maybe address some other directors' questions and concerns.
I would like to get some kind of a forecast of what it's going to take to run this pool, the tennis court, you know, where that money's going to come from.
So,
I agree. I think we definitely need financials in order to make a proper decision.
So do I need a consensus for this?
Yes, sir.
I mean, the vote just consensus?
I don't think you need a motion.
Okay.
You just need a consensus that the board wants to hold it over until
well,
the next.
I'm for
I
that.
I would request the board, that the staff bring this back to us at the next board meeting.
Yeah.
I'd like to see it. I'd like to see a month, not just the next.
Well,
the
second.
I'd like to see the staff bring it back when they have adequate financials.
Okay,
and
if staff has what they feel is adequate information for next meeting, otherwise we'd have that.
Let's get real numbers.
Yeah.
The number that we have we do have a budget number in the budget that the board did adopt back in February for the pool maintenance itself. For the 3.5 months, of $2,500 for the pool maintenance, if you will. Okay, so we did program that money in there for ongoing operational maintenance. From the standpoint of revenues, we won't know what our true monthly revenues are until the end of the month. Our next board meeting is April 3rd. We can certainly have those numbers we can have those numbers by then. And the next board meeting is on April the 3rd.
You need to forecast in those numbers running heaters also, because there's no heaters running in that pool.
No, I understand that.
I'm just curious what it's going to cost.
That's great. I'm just trying to understand. Rick, are you clear on I'm not clear on what's being asked for here, because the pool's an independent. The membership and the profit of the club have nothing to do with operating the pool, so I'm curious as to what the correlation we're looking for is.
I'm not sure they're independent. I mean, if we scale down the athletic club operation very significantly, I'm not sure that's not going to make an impact on what we draw for the pool. That's my concern.
There's a lot of different uses.
They're not independent. It's all part of the package.
Let me ask this. So then what you're saying is if the community center committee, after having conversations with other contractors that may be opening up a facility here in town, make a decision to say, hey, you know, why have two athletic clubs across the street from each other? This is hypothetical now.
Sure.
and although it could be reality, I mean, it's not a stretch, mm-hmm. and say, okay, the recommendation of the Community Center Committee is to move forward with programming, reconstruction, and developing the existing building into a more, what would be considered, more what we consider traditional community center, where you might have an area for kids reading and things, other programs that the community has brought forward and talked about, and we wholesale out the equipment and get rid of it because there's no use competing with somebody that's a professional that's across the street. Then the pool gets closed down? It's tied to that? Okay, then that's why I'm saying I don't understand why we're waiting to find out what happens with what the athletic club is currently to make a decision on the pool. To me, that doesn't make sense.
To wait to spend $50,000.
$40,000.
Well, we get the rebate.
Even though it's in the park district.
Okay. Yeah.
We've got classes planned for this programming. Mm-hmm. We're talking about having swim. Could have swim lessons there potentially. Could have some sort of senior water aerobics that we'd like to do that. We're going to delay that now.
We're not proposing it doesn't happen.
You're going to land in the middle of summer.
I'm talking about 15 days to 30 days.
How much are we going to charge for those programs?
Well, the survey that we've looked at is $7 to $20 a class.
So how many people are going to go to the class?
Well, there's over 4,000 kids in the neighborhood.
Well, I understand all that. We're doing hypotheticals right now, and that's why it's so important to take a look at the financials. You know, a simple question, how much does it cost to operate a pool of that size on average per month? And we don't have that answer. And we're not quite sure how many users we're going to have, especially in lieu of the fact that if the athletic club professional one comes in and we take ours out and we run it for the summer, it'll be a whole bunch of folks. But even if you shut down the heaters in the wintertime, which maybe we wouldn't want to do because maybe seniors want to participate and take water aerobics in the cooler months, so now we're going to have that fee is going to be the same every month. So we need to do a little more, my opinion, a little more research on the financial side, the business model, if you will, in order to move forward. And
And I think it's a great idea. I think it's very prudent to know what our monthly costs will be, and I wish that we would have been able to have that here tonight. Well, I do agree that that's a very important factor. I don't know how you and the Community Center Committee is, I guess, being tasked with trying to figure out how many participants we're going to have. I don't have a crystal ball. We're not going to be able to come up with that information.
Well, did we have a survey? Was the pool in? I didn't see the survey.
The survey's online and the pool was included.
Well, I think
right. So how many users? Where was the priority on a pool? On the survey.
It's on the survey.
Okay.
We only have 400, like 350.
I think
the survey out of only 15,000.
There you go.
Okay. So, we'll try to bring it back next meeting if we have information.
As long as staff understands what they're being asked to do.
Rick, do you have an idea what we want?
I think so.
We don't know what we want. You know what we want.
You are wanting to identify what the monthly operating cost is to run the pool with and without a heater month to month. Number one, and that would include the maintenance, what we would think of as regular pool maintenance. The pool guy shows up and his truck kind of maintenance.
Well, electricity, chlorine, all the above.
Okay.
And when you say we're going to do it, that's still,
we're still paying
something. You have, our labor is, we pay our labor just like we pay a vendor labor. So when you use that term, which kind of, to me, is pushing it off, but it's, you know what I'm saying? You say, well, staff will do that. Well, we still have to pay staff, so
that's
a labor burden that we have to go absorb.
What I was referring to in that item, President Tetra, was in order to check the
pH balance
of the pool,
sure.
That's something that we can all do. Anybody can do that. I'm not suggesting that the staff go out and sweep the pool and do that sort of thing.
Well, I don't know that.
Yeah, you just threw that out there. I was referring to checking the pH balance
check your numbers on that, though, too, because the health department requires a certified pool person to check it every month. So we may or may not be able to do that ourselves. Right.
That's one. How many people would we anticipate? Again, that's going to be a little difficult to identify, but we can go back and try and pull out a number on that. Look at what our revenues are for the month of March for the facility. The facility doesn't have a pool right now that's usable, so I'm not sure how to break those numbers out in terms of how many people are there for the pool, because none of them are there for the pool right now. And I don't know what impact a new location across the street would have on the pool, whether or not that would predicate the board's decision mm-hmm. to keep it open or to close it.
I just want to note the operating statement for the community center for the next 12 months. I think that's really important for the board to see what's going on there, what the overall costs are, whatever the programming is that comes up, whatever the uses are. I think that on a regular basis, we need to see an operating statement on it. And I would just suggest to the board that we keep an eye on that. You know, roll up every month, you know. First of each month, we look at the last month, at least have it in our packet, whether we have a big discussion on or not. The community center committee should be committed to delivering that.
We want that. Yeah.
The difficulty in developing a 12-month operating statement for the next 12 months on that facility is difficult at this point in time, not knowing what types of operations are going to be there.
Leave it the way it is, based on how it is right now.
I mean, this is how
the community center committee is embarking on that discussion at the next meeting. Okay. We anticipate that we will have a budget to this board for the next fiscal year concurrent with the budget process for the whole district.
Yeah.
We're not bringing this separate as a separate item that's going to come as part of the regular budgetary process. Mm-hmm. And so to fast track this from that standpoint, we put together the budget for the first 4.5 months, and that's what we're working under, and that's the budget we're working under. How we move forward with it is going to be part of the overall budget process moving forward into the next year.
I believe that this should be separate. We're running it as a business, and we have employees in that business, and we have expenses attached to that business, and I really believe that should be a separate budget.
It will be. It will be.
I got counsel. Yes, sir.
We wandered from the topic. The agenda item is
Okay. Yeah.
Well, in relationship to the pool, in relationship to the pool and usage, I think that I'm not sure if Brentwood has a community pool or Livermore, or there are other communities that have pools, and I think that we could generate, at least get some of their numbers, and if they're offering senior pool activities, all those types of things, we should be able to gather something along those lines, and also get a sense of what they're charging for some of these and how many people are going and weekends.
We have all stuff. We do have all that information.
We don't. I don't have it.
I also would like to get a sense of what you think after your meeting on Monday, also about relative to the new business we're talking about, and do you have a time frame on that?
No, but that's not on the agenda, so I can't.
I'm talking about what I'd like to get from.
It's a future agenda item.
When he brings it back to the
absolutely.
Minute, that's what I'd like to have on there.
Yeah, well, that's.
Yeah.
It throws the whole community center into a whole different mode of how we're moving forward, not knowing. I mean, exactly. We found this out a week ago.
Yeah.
We haven't had a meeting yet, so hopefully, it's on our meeting to address alternate plans for the community center because we have to take into consideration Plan A and Plan B now.
Let's get some more facts for you guys.
I'm going to ask for any public comment that we may have. I know someone, there's one public comment that wants to come up.
It isn't really fuzzy math here. If you want to know what money you're making, you're not making. As soon as that athletic club, the gym opens across the street, half of your membership's going to leave. So if you're bringing $9,000 or $10,000 a month, it's going to come down to $5,000 a month. But during the summer, most of the families, like Mr. Graves and Mr. Steele said, are going to come down and utilize that pool. And the biggest weekend is the first holiday weekend in May, and everybody's down there to use the pool. They're barbecuing, playing tennis, using the pool. I've been out here many years. That pool was used for a swim team. They had a swim team every summer. The kids were down there involved in the swim team, taking swim lessons, the aquatics. My wife is a aerobic aquatic instructor, and she teaches over at Somerset Delta. During the month of November, December, January, February, the women do not want to be in the pool outside. I don't care how warm it is. But from May through the 1st of November, people use a pool. Was in the budget of this $140,000 or $120,000 you set aside for improving the facility, did that include the pool also in that budget?
It included
$23,000. We're talking roughly $40,000.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Well, you either have a pool or you have a pond for mosquitoes. One of the two.
Well, we're talking
it's
about...
It's kind of like buying a golf course and getting in the first month and saying, man, this overhead is just killing me. We'll shock fertilizer and water. And, you know, we'll save money. We'll lay off these guys. We won't mow the fairways. We won't water fertilize. We'll save money, and then we'll be ahead of it. Well, that's what you're doing here. You bought the community center to be a community center. That pool was part of it. Now, if you decide to close the pool down, you got $150,000 to fill that hole in, plus put another $200,000 to build a new pool. So I think you'd have to run with it right now and say, let's get the pool done. We're trying to get people to come down and utilize it. That's a drawing thing for them. As soon as the weather gets nice. Come June, you're going to have 100-degree weather. People want to go down there. So I know the last couple of years, Pilates Group, on a holiday weekend, they would close down the club because they wanted to give their $5 an hour employees the day off. People were down there standing in our parking lot wanting to use the pool, and they couldn't. So I think you have to look at it that way.
Well, I think we have a consensus to get something back for next meeting. So we're going to put this matter off until the first meeting in April.
Okay.
So we're going to are we going to revisit item number one, or are we going to put that off?
At this point, I would recommend that we hold that off and bring that back on April the 3rd.
Okay. So be it. Okay, we're going to now go to the OLA report.
Amelia report.
Same job.
Hey, Gordon. My name is Herbert Garcia with Veolia Water. I'm the project manager for the wastewater and water treatment facilities for the town of Discovery Bay. I'll be presenting the February 2013 monthly operating report and discussing highlights of the report. First off, with regards to safety, we have approximately 128 days of safe operations, over 55,000 work hours since the last reportable incident. In training, we had several sessions in safety, and we sent two operators out for a week worth of training each, one for program manager boot camp, and the other one in regards to collection system conference. The next item is the water services. We have a few tables here in regards to active wells, chemicals delivered, water production, which is a new table that I put up last month, and I'll continue to put up there so you can see the amount of water production that's being produced throughout the year. The bacteriological test results for water, and they're all zero. We had 16 bacteriological samples, and they're all zero. We have a wastewater service laboratory analysis. It includes the permit limits, January's data, and February's data. These next two tables are new. In the first one is the National Pollution Discharge Elimination System. It's called NPDES. It's a permit that the State Water Resource Control Board issues to the facilities in order to regulate the discharge permit limits. We take part of that permit limit is bacteriological test results. We took 9 samples, and in February we had some excursions. We had seven day meeting excursions, 5 of them. We noticed the first one was like 20th, and been dealing with it, trying to figure out exactly what was the cause. I think we eventually have determined that cause. and it can be attributed to a valve that was opened probably about 5 or 7 years ago. It's been partially open for that amount of time. I located it recently, and what it did, to make it long story short, is it diminished our organisms in the secondary biological process. The way wastewater works is you have microorganisms that consume the organics that comes into the facility. And when you have a reduction in those organisms, you're not able to consume the organics that come in. And as a result, they go over into your discharge and they can cause these kind of problems in coliform seepage.
So exclusion means we exceeded our limit.
Yes, that's right. Okay. I try not to complicate everybody with this, try to put it in terms that everybody can understand. We still had some more in March, but that's what we discuss next month. And hopefully, we just received some good positive results. We've made a considerable amount of changes, and so hopefully we won't be seeing those kind of things results that again. The next item is collection systems. As part of the contract, we're supposed to flush and CCTV, I think it's what, 30, the third of our lines. So far we have, this month we flushed 7,145 feet, and year to date we're at 72% completed for flushing, and we're at 52% of CCTV. I have personnel that are right now, they're working on that continuously. They're going to be working until they get it done. Inspected an additional 21 manholes. The year to date is 153. Had a power outage at lift station E. It was a planned power outage. Some maintenance issues in regards to wastewater and water treatment. We had a 110 hoist that was inspected, a Magna rotor aerator. Those are the brushes that move the water along and stir the water up at dissolved oxygen to the microorganisms, because bugs like to breathe. And so there's some items there. Likewise in water, we did some more maintenance items. Preventive, corrective, work orders, there were 199, total 159 hours. Call-outs, 11 call-outs, fuel emergencies, and personnel hours and overtime was 1155 and overtime 35. The last sheet is in regards to terms for wastewater and water treatment, so you can have a better understanding. Any questions?
Are we full staff right now?
Yes.
Is well 5 out of commission right now?
Well 5, we had a motor that went out. We reinstalled. We had the motor rewound. It's been reinstalled.
Okay. But it's still 4 is running mostly.
Still back up to 4?
Yes, because of the high salinity.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
If I can ask Urban Wise here to give us a little brief overview of what took place last week. I notified the board that we had a minor SSO. While it was relatively minor, there's still SSOs, and we will still be subject to notify the Regional Water Board. So if you can give the board an update to the public on that, I'd appreciate it.
Certainly.
Really forgot that one.
I'm looking for my notes here real quick. On Wednesday afternoon, Virgil notified us about an ARB, air release valve, that was leaking. And we went and took a look at it, and the following day, they repaired it. Later on that day, we had a resident that called us about 5:30 in the afternoon or the evening. And Laura responded within 30 minutes. She was out there less than half an hour. And she, you know, identified the ARB and seen, you know, documented the water didn't go into, none of the sewage went into the waterways, and it was estimated to approximately 490 gallons at that time. The next day, I did a more accurate calculation, less than 400 gallons. That places it in what's called Category 2, which it's doesn't have to be reported within 2 hours. You have to report it within 24 hours. But we reported it that same day, because I'd rather err on the side of caution. I'd rather tell me you didn't have to then tell me I should have. The next day they went out, they look at it, and there was a piece of plastic that got caught in the ARV. So once they removed the plastic, the valve operated like it's designed to operate. And then we just followed up with calling in the regulatory agencies and sent a report out to, you know, to the State Water Risk Control Board and certified seawalls.
And as I understand, none of the discharge entered into any of the creek beds, waterways, no, storm drains. No. It was all contained on site.
Yes, and then we also watered it down with some water, potable water, no chlorine.
Good job. Good response.
Yeah, so that I'll understand again. On you have wastewater laboratory analysis, and the analysis is done. Is that something that is done in-house, or is that a firm that you utilize to?
No, we have a certified laboratory that we send the samples out to. It has to be an accredited laboratory. We don't do it.
Right. Yeah. Just so I'll know, where is that?
FGL, it's in Stockton, mm-hmm. Right there by
Stagecoach.
Yeah, it's on Stagecoach. Okay. Right across from Granger. Mm-hmm. Right across from Granger. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Any audience questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Manager's report?
I have two items for you this evening. One of them is going to be coming to you on April the 3rd. It will be we are up for our every 5-year municipal service review through LAFCO.
Yeah.
That I completed the document. I completed the questionnaire this afternoon, circulating it through the staff and through our engineers, and I will be circulating it through our legal staff as well. But it will be on the agenda for you to review on April 3rd. It's very similar for those of you that were involved in the last one. They're asking essentially a lot of the same questions, so we're addressing those as LAFCO. Takes a look at our operations and how we do business. The second item is at the workshop we discussed, if you recall, the possibility of bringing in Brent Ives Consulting to do some board training and board workshop. And I discussed with him after that board workshop, it was suggested that would he be willing to come out and just give a presentation a session to the board, not necessarily what was proposed, which was much more in depth. And he said he would be more than willing to do that. As if you recall, he's the mayor of Tracy. He's used throughout the state by not only CSDA, but as well as League of California Cities for some of their training sessions as well. He said that he would be willing to do that at our convenience, and the fee would be about $1,500. About a 3 or 4 hour session. So if it's the board's prerogative to continue to pursue that, I would do that and get your dates that you would set the date, probably the next meeting if you wanted to do that, and go ahead and engage you to conduct that.
I don't have a problem with it.
I did put it on the agenda as a possible action item, so you can take an action tonight to move forward, even though it is within my prerogative in terms of my spending authority. Mm-hmm. I do want to get the board's acknowledgement mm-hmm. to move forward, however.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think that would be great to do something like that for maybe we alternate from an off Wednesday night or something, but I think that's some money well spent, and we'll have it as a workshop. So.
Well, it's certainly a lot more feasible than you grant. So.
I move that staff recommendation on the consultant.
Second.
So you'll bring us some proposed dates next meeting or something?
Yeah, I'll come back to you at the next meeting. Maybe I'll close to send you an email asking what dates. Let me talk to him first, find out what dates he's available, and see what dates work for this board.
Any audience questions? Hearing none. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Is there a legal report? That?
Just briefly, Mr. President, board members, I will not be in attendance at your next meeting on April 3rd. I'll be in Washington, D.C. with my son educating him on history, nature, and art. My partner, well, I hope to, I should say. My partner, Rod Atterbury, will be here in my place and welcome here.
Okay.
Are you visiting the White House?
I think they stopped the tours. I signed up for it, so I think sequester took care of that. Yeah. That's all right. We're going to go to the Spy Museum instead.
All right.
Nice. You
probably better.
If you're there for the Easter egg roll, you might be in our place.
Okay. Item K, I think we kind of beat the community center course pretty good.
Well, the only thing I might want to add to that is the committee has been meeting. They are meeting again this coming Monday.
Yes.
And if you've been over there recently, you've seen, continue to see improvement. The contract labor, if you will, has moved off-site for the most part. And we're just into doing some tree trimming and getting the place looking better as we move forward. But we still continue to make progress at the location, and we're looking forward to more.
Can you give these guys an update on the couple classes we have? How that?
We had a one of the things that Farron recommended in some of the research that she had come across was a different model of paying instructors. Instead of having us put the classes out there, have the instructors come and make recommendations to us about the different types of classes that they might want to teach instead of the things that we might want to offer, because they know what their clientele and they know what's successful and what's not. And so one of the instructors took it upon herself to submit a proposal, and she had a line dance class. And last week was the second week, and I believe there's about 15 people who signed up for that class. Mm-hmm. And there's instead of paying her for the class, it's a split where she makes some money on her end, and we get some of the money back. And that is the format that we would like to move forward to as our programming moves on, so that instructors would recommend a propose a class, a different type of class, type whatever the case may be, whether it turns a crafts class, an aerobics class, a dance class, a ballet class, and that there would be a minimum number of attendees that some people would sign up for it. And based upon the number of people that signed up for it, the more money the instructor can make and the more money we can make.
Is that once a week thing?
It's a once a week. It's on Friday afternoons, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other classes in the work?
We're just the regular, the 19 classes a week that were the classes that were in place at the time.
Oh, okay.
Are still there. So this is a 20th class.
Do you have a schedule of what those classes are?
Yes, there is a schedule.
That's plugged on our website?
I don't know what's on the website, Chris. But they are over there for sure.
Any comments on the correspondence? Very nice. Very good. Good correspondence. Very good. No public requests received. Amazing. And any future agenda items?
I'm not sure. Well, I'm not talking about future agenda item. Maybe I missed the spot in the agenda. I attended the Contra County Transportation Authority.
Well, when we had director's comments.
Oh, okay.
You could have done it there.
Okay.
Your director comment.
Well, with all due respect, Mr. President, if we could go back to that item.
We can. Please give me your report.
I had never heard of the TriLink State Road 239.
Oh, that's Byron.
Yeah, they've got three or four passes down if you want to peruse a little bit. Yes, I am. Yeah. I went to the first meeting. Yeah. We gave the consultant another $200,000 or something. I asked them how much money. They got $14 million for this study.
Wow.
They've spent $3 million of it already, and we're only on the third or fourth meeting, I guess. I was at the next meeting, so... They're getting paid a lot of money to study four different alternate routes to get from here to Livermore on a freeway bypass. So And I found out that this was authorized in 1959, and so they're still working on it. And I'm not sure when they'll get funding to do it, but they certainly want to study it. And so I said the same thing to them. I watched the money. You only got $10 million left with no project. That's my comment.
Okay. Thank you. Under that, then, we are adjourned.